and welcome to the show. I'm your host, Dr. TJ Williams, and with me as always is Aaron.
Hi.
Yes, we got a hi. Sometimes we get silence and a look, but today we got a hi. So today on the show, we're from the Institute of Natural Health, and on today's show, we are going to talk about antibiotics. We're going to talk about what they are, what they do, side effects, problems with the fact that we've overprescribed them for the last forever, however long they've been around. I mean, we're going to talk about some issues and concerns that are surrounding antibiotics and really how they're impacting our overall health in general, right? So side effects of antibiotics need to be like out there, people paying attention to, given how much we're actually using antibiotics in this country. It's like every day at the clinic, someone new comes in, and one of the questions that we ask taking our history is, you know, have you taken antibiotics in your life? Yes. Okay. How often are you taking?
Have you ever had anyone that said no?
Actually, yes.
Yeah.
We've had a couple, and those have been some of the healthiest people we've had in the clinic. They're healthy and want to stay that way. So yes, it's glorious when it happens. But for the most part, most people, when they were younger, their mom and dad, as soon as they got a sniffle, took them to the doctor and gave them an antibiotic. That's what they did. And so unfortunately, that's still what's going on today. And we're going to talk about some of the effects of just chronic antibiotic use and overuse has on a system. And it's just promoting a lot of these chronic health conditions that we have. But as of April of 2018, antibiotics ranked as the number one most commonly prescribed drug class, with the sales hitting $40 billion globally. Okay. Between 2000 and 2015, human use of antibiotics rose by 40%. So we're prescribing these things at an ever-increasing rate. It's just crazy. And there are like people out there, like economists and things, that look at all this data, and they're pointing out the fact that by 2050, if nothing changes and we keep prescribing antibiotics at the rate that we are, that antibiotic resistance will be responsible for 10 million deaths around the world. By 2050, that's 30 years from now. That's not very long to be responsible for that many deaths. I mean, a lot of people are taking antibiotics. I mean, I'm guilty. I've taken antibiotics in my past. And you know what? Antibiotics in an emergency situation may absolutely save your life. And
there are times when antibiotics are really great.
Yes.
I mean, it's one of the best inventions. It
yes.
really is, you know, a huge medical breakthrough. So we're definitely not saying that there isn't a time and place for antibiotics.
Right. So, I mean, antibiotic, yeah, but, in the, you know, overuse is the problem. If we use these a lot more sparingly, I mean, we can have much more impact. I mean, this constant use is what's leading to things like the antibiotic resistant strains of bacteria out there that, I mean, once we get something that can't be killed by some of our antibiotics that we have a big problem on our hands, right? How are we going to stop that epidemic? I don't know. So what exactly is an antibiotic? Some of you out there may just have the concept of or heard things about an antibiotic, but antibiotics are used to treat bacterial infections. That's critical. It's for bacterial infections. It's not for a virus. The common cold is a virus. You don't take an antibiotic for the common cold. An earache or ear infection, otitis media, that is a viral infection. You don't take antibiotics for viral infections. Now, doctors prescribe antibiotics for earaches all the time, even though the American Medical Association every single year sends out a letter to all of its doctors stating, please, if a child comes into the office or if a person comes into the office with an ear infection, wait 10 days. The infection will likely clear itself up because it's viral in nature. Please don't prescribe antibiotics. Now, they don't sugarcoat it quite like that, but that's the gist of the letter. I know because I've seen this letter multiple years in a row. They just keep putting it out there saying, please don't prescribe antibiotics for an ear infection. But they still do it, right? So if we go back into the history of antibiotics, penicillin was the first antibiotic, and that thing was discovered in 1926, right? And so, I mean, this thing inhibited certain types of harmful bacteria. So, great. It was killing off bugs. You know, at that time in our history, infections were one of the leading causes of death. It was a miracle drug. It was the silver bullet. It was the thing that was going to help everyone. But then we just, you don't feel well? Here, take an antibiotic. Oh, you don't feel well? Here, take an antibiotic. Now we have more and more classes and types of antibiotics out there. And I mean, some of the generic things for antibiotics, I mean, this is just a quick one just off the top of my head. We have things like amoxicillin, doxycycline, cephalin, or cephalexin, rather. I don't know what I said, cephalin. I think that's your head. Cephalexin, ciprofloxacin, clindamycin, metronidazole, sulfamethoxazole, you know, levofloxacin. I mean, there's so many different medications out there that antibiotics specifically, I mean, they're used to treat everything. I mean, we're using antibiotics for acne, bronchitis, conjunctivitis, ear infections, STDs, which are on the rise, skin infections, strep throat, traveler's diarrhea, or Montezuma's revenge, upper respiratory tract infections, urinary tract infections. Pick it. We're throwing antibiotics at this stuff. Is it beneficial for some of these things? Maybe. But if you're getting constant infections, like some people have sinus infections and they get six of these things a year and they're dropping a nuclear bomb on their system in the form of an antibiotic six times a year, that's a problem that you're having. It's not the fact that you don't have enough of the antibiotic in your system. It's that you're doing something else that's perpetuating this sinus infection.
Right.
You're eating foods that you're not supposed to be eating. You're living in a moldy environment. You're being exposed to something that's making your system mad.
And the problem is, I mean, conventional medicine has no way to deal with it other than antibiotics.
Right.
I mean, antibiotics, like we said, are sometimes necessary and they can be great. But unless you have the ability to take a step back and look at it and say, wait a second, you know, antibiotics are clearly not the best answer here because we wouldn't have to keep using them.
Right.
Then, I mean, that's where functional medicine comes in to say, okay, why is this happening?
Right. And like I said before, I mean, antibiotics have no effect on a viral infection. So things like the common cold, like I said, flu, the influenza virus, it has no effect, but yet people still go get antibiotics. So it's, and the thing is, I don't fault people for going to the doctor to say, hey, what's wrong? Can you fix me? At this moment, I fault the doctors for giving an antibiotic for a viral infection. That's a problem.
Well, a lot of times the people are saying, I need an antibiotic. And then the doctor says, okay.
Right. Because God forbid a doctor make a patient mad. I mean, tell them that, no, it's a viral infection. You know, go on. The problem is the patient will just go down the street to find another doctor that'll give it to them. That's where we run into it. I mean, even the CDC itself, they state on their website, most sore throats will go away on their own without antibiotics. But yet we still throw antibiotics anytime someone has a little scratchy throat. I don't understand. That's how we build immunity. It's how we build resistance to things, is by just weathering the storm. Having a sore throat for a couple days isn't the end of the world. Just like having chicken pox isn't the end of the world, right? So what? You'll be immune to it. That you may not be immune to a sore throat all the time, but you'd be immune to chicken pox. I mean, and then another thing with antibiotics that happens is people will only take part of the course of antibiotics. They may be prescribed 10 days worth, but at the end of the fifth day, they feel great and they just stop taking the antibiotic. They're like, well, I don't need it anymore. That's not how antibiotics are designed. That's not how, if you actually could see what it looks like in the body with the increased number of bacteria and then how the bacteria decrease, you haven't gotten, just because you feel better, the bacteria haven't gotten back down to a load that's not impacting the human body. So by stopping your antibiotics early, you're just promoting mutations of that bacteria. It's all you're doing. And so we really want to make sure that we finish our course of antibiotics. So whatever that course is. Now, you know, maybe the course is only 3 days. Okay, then take the 3 days.
Right. The issue is when, yeah, you're supposed to be on it for a week or longer and people take a couple of days, feel better and stop.
Yeah, that's the problem. So we've got to take a break. When we come back, we are going to get into some potential side effects of antibiotics and what that may mean for you. You're listening to Wellness 101. Show. I'm Dr. TJ with Aaron from the Institute of Natural Health, and we today on Wellness 101 here are talking about antibiotics and the problems with antibiotics. And in our previous segment, we were talking about, you know, what an antibiotic is. I rattled off some names of different types of antibiotics, and then we were talking about how antibiotics have no effect on viruses, and then what types of infections are viral infections, things like colds and the flu are viral infections. And we want to get into some of the side effects of antibiotic overuse, and in this country in particular. Every single year, according to the CDC, 23,000 Americans, actually over 23,000 Americans, die because bacteria are resistant to antibiotics. So we're talking about these antibiotic-resistant superbugs that are out there that we can't kill, and people die from these things. And the CDC is warning the country about these resistant, quote, nightmare bacteria, right, spreading throughout the country. I mean, it's a huge concern that we are seeing these infections that are becoming resistant to bugs. But why is it happening? It's happening because of what we were talking about in the first section, overprescribing and misuse of those prescriptions. Stopping the antibiotics before you finish your course is a huge problem, right? And we also get exposed to antibiotics, and this is, some of you, it may blow your minds when you hear this. Antibiotics are given to our food supply, our animals, the pork, the beef, the chicken. They're given heavy doses of antibiotics. In fact, I read something somewhere. I don't have the reference right in front of me. I read something somewhere that the food industry, particular agricultural side, the pork, beef, and chicken farmers, consume the vast majority of antibiotics in this country. So the meat that we're consuming, if you're not eating no antibiotic, no hormone, you know, grass-fed, free-range, wild-caught meats, you're consuming elevated levels of antibiotics just in your diet from being in the meat that you're consuming.
And now you know why that matters, because I know we've heard people say, like, why is that such a big deal? Wouldn't you want your meat to have antibiotics so that's not, you know, full of bacteria? Well, you're getting all of those antibiotics then in your system.
Well, mercury kills bacteria too. Do you want your meat full of mercury? I mean, I'm just saying. I mean, No, you don't want this stuff. It has a huge impact on you because it's affecting, you know, the likelihood that we're going to see more and more of these antibiotic resistant superbugs.
Right. So the big thing is, it's not just what you are actually taking. It's not just the antibiotic courses that you've been prescribed. It's what is your food supply.
Right.
And especially in fast food. I mean,
right.
We know that most of them are using, meats that have been heavily treated with antibiotics.
Right. And you know, you get to vote with your pocketbook. That's one of the things. You get to vote with what you buy. If all of us just decided for a month to stop buying meat that wasn't wild caught, no antibiotic, no hormone, the suppliers of that meat would change their tunes very quickly. That's how we've seen this increase in, quote, health food now at the grocery store. You know, you used to go into the, quote, health food section, which was an aisle or a half an aisle. But now you're seeing more and more of these products permeating through the entire store. And so we're seeing more and more of this just based on consumer demand. As we demand more, they will produce for us what it is that we're demanding. It's simple economics, and I'm no economist, but it's just a supply and demand thing. So, I mean, the CDC, even on their own website, points out antibiotic resistance has been called one of the world's most pressing public health problems, right? I mean, it's causing illnesses that were once easily treatable, and now we can't do anything about it because we don't have an antibiotic to kill the bacteria, right? So there's a quote by I may butcher her name a little bit. Her name's Catherine, Dr. Catherine Fleming Dutra, I think is how you pronounce her last name. She's a deputy director of the Office of Antibiotic Stewardship at the CDC in Atlanta. And she points out anytime antibiotics are used, they can cause side effects and lead to antibiotic resistance. So every time an antibiotic is used, it can lead to resistance. That is something that we absolutely need to pay attention to and you know, I encourage you, don't run and grab an antibiotic the first chance that you get a sniffle or a cold or whatever it is. Don't just say, oh, I got to go grab an antibiotic and get over this, because you're not going to take the whole thing. Be smart about this. We're better than that. I know we are, right? Another side effect of antibiotics is the infections are taking longer to cure. So because we've been using antibiotics more, people are taking longer to heal. Things like urinary tract infections, pneumonia, they're becoming much harder to treat. We see this in our office all the time. We run urinalysis on almost every single person that walks in, and we see urinary tract infections show up on their testing. And then we start working with them to help this. And it takes a while to get these things to go away. We're just seeing more and more of it. It used to be you wouldn't see this stuff. Now we're seeing it on many, many, many patients that come in. I mean, it's a lot larger of a deal than I think most of us really realize. And really, until I got into this type of functional medicine work, I had no idea. I didn't know that this was such a big deal that, you know, antibiotics were creating all of these, you know, side effects and negative having such a negative impact on humans, right? Another one is allergies and asthma, right? They're starting to show research links between antibiotic use and the development of allergies. This makes perfect sense to me, right? We get allergies because we have dysfunctional guts. When we take an antibiotic, we don't just kill the bad bugs. We kill the good and the bad bugs, and we destroy them throughout our gut, right? And so when we destroy the gut, now we've increased the permeability of our intestines. So now more bugs can cross over into our system, and we develop these sensitivities and these allergies to food. So the more we use antibiotics, the more we're seeing an increase in allergies in our clientele. I mean, there was a study that was published in April of 2018, and they were looking at the health records of 792,000 children born between 2001 and 2013. And they found a link between babies who took antibiotics or antacids between birth and 6 months of age and the development of allergies as well as asthma, right? And the lead author of the study, he said that exposure to antibiotics appeared to double children's future asthma risk while promoting a 50% increase in risk for allergies to dust, dander, and pollen, eye allergies, and anaphylaxis.
Scary.
It is scary. All of that, and she came out with scary.
Yep. That's my contribution.
Her contribution to the entire segment has been scary. But it is scary. I mean, as a father, I'm like, why would I ever want to give an antibiotic to my kid unless there's just something just god-awful that he catches?
Right.
No, I'm not going to do it.
I think what's hard is that, you know, you expect pediatricians to be the ones to say, oh, wait, okay, we don't actually need the antibiotic in this case. But a lot of times, you know, parents are worried. Pediatricians do what the parents want, which is, you know, just fix them as fast as you can.
But the pediatricians don't know anything natural to give them. All they know is antibiotic. So, I mean, if all you are is a hammer, everything you see is going to be a nail.
Right. And we've talked about that before in the case of, you know, mental health issues where people go to psychiatrists and they're like, well, he gave me an antidepressant. Well, that's what psychiatrists do. If
right.
you want therapy, go to a therapist.
Right.
Don't go to a psychiatrist who is going to give you a medication.
Right.
That's what they do.
Right.
So I think, yeah, that's a good point. Like when you go to a pediatrician, you're going to get a medication. That's what they do.
Right. If you go to a surgeon, you're going to get surgery. That's you're exactly right. So another one that I want to touch on, and then we got to take a quick break, is diarrhea. Right. We'll touch on this very quickly because nobody really wants to talk about this topic. But diarrhea is a very, very common side effect to antibiotic use. Why do you get diarrhea? I just said we drop a nuclear bomb and the good bacteria of our gut get destroyed. We don't just kill the bad bugs. We kill the good bugs. And when we take the antibiotic, people often get diarrhea. And then that has its own side effects of dehydration, which is huge. And in children, the risk of dehydration is really, really high. Lots of kids end up in an ER or back in the doctor's office because of dehydration and complications from dehydration because they got diarrhea from taking the antibiotic for the ear infection that they shouldn't have had the antibiotic for in the first place. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to continue on with some of these problems with antibiotics. You're listening to Wellness 101.
Memories are films about those. You can never escape, you can only move south down the coast. Well, I am an idiot, walking a tightrope of fortune and fame. I am an acrobat, swinging trapezes through circles of flame. Stared off into the distance, then your life is a shame.
And welcome back to the show. I'm Dr. TJ with Aaron from the Institute of Natural Health. And today we've been talking about antibiotics and the problems with antibiotics. And we just touched briefly on allergies and asthma and then diarrhea. And we'll leave that one alone. We won't go back and rehash that at all. Go back and listen to this on iTunes or SoundCloud and catch it if you missed it. Another side effect of antibiotics is exhaustion, right? When talking about antibiotics, the side effect of tiredness makes the list of possibilities here, right? It's not so bad when you're sick that you're tired, but we're already feeling worn out, but antibiotics make you feel even more exhausted, right? They just wipe you out even more. I mean, it's a side effect that's been known forever that, okay, you're on an antibiotic, of course you're tired, right? But I don't think that doctors do a very good job of educating patients that when you take this, you're probably going to feel worse. And you're feeling worse because you're exhausted and you can't function, right? So, I mean, it's just one of those things. And I mean, some people that deal with this, it's extreme fatigue, like can't get out of bed the next day fatigue. And sometimes I think that they just confuse that with the illness that they're trying to treat as opposed to a side effect or a potential side effect of the medication. So they just blow it off as like, oh, well, I was sick. Not the fact that the antibiotics actually had anything to do with it at all. So I don't know. That's just my opinion. And then there is another side effect of antibiotics, and this is an interesting one. It's when people end up with a swollen, black, or, quote, hairy tongue. Yes, people get a hairy tongue from taking too many antibiotics. It's a side effect of, like, amoxicillin. I think it's amoxicillin, which is a penicillin derivative antibiotic. It's not something that's extremely common, but it does happen. More common side effects would be things like nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, stomach ache, vaginal itching, a headache, rash. But then there's this swollen, hairy tongue that rears its ugly head. If you have that, trust me, you will know, and you'll be back in the doctor saying, "Oh my God, what is this?" Because it's just terrible, right? And I mean, it seems too weird to be true, but I mean, it's 100% true. And amoxicillin by itself has some other side effects. It can cause the overgrowth of Clostridium species of bacteria in the intestines. So then that can lead to colitis or inflammation of the colon. Some other things that can happen: you can get jaundice, you can have seizures, and break out in hives. Those are common side effects of amoxicillin. Then another side effect is messing up a menstrual cycle. So for all you ladies that are listening out there, antibiotics can disrupt the menstrual cycle. It's a debated topic, but I mean, research goes back on this all the way back to 1947. Where there was an article published on penicillin's effects on the menstrual cycle. Now, some women don't experience this at all, but others do. And it messes up their menstrual, trust me, it's a issue. They really have, you know, some serious complaints. I mean, wouldn't you? I mean, I'm no woman, but I can only imagine if my normal cycle gets all messed up because I take an antibiotic to kill something that I think is, you know, is a problem. And then it screws up all of my hormones, I'm going to be a little peeved at that.
But a lot of times, too, like you had mentioned before, it is thought to be, I think a lot of people attribute it to whatever the illness is that they were trying to treat in the first place. So if things get messed up, they think, oh, well, this must be a side effect of the illness or, you know, a lasting effect of the illness that I suffered and not necessarily of the antibiotic that they took.
Right. Right. Exactly. And you know, that's very true. That's very true. I mean, we could talk about, you know, more and more about how antibiotics mess up the menstrual cycle. It's just throwing off hormone balance. And I mean, it's a possibility. It does happen. That can cause, you know, all kinds of things, even delaying, you know, your period and things like that. So it's just something to be aware of that it's a side effect. There's a group of side effects that I'm going to kind of lump together here. People can have hallucinations when taking antibiotics. People can have psychotic reactions taking antibiotics. And then people can have spontaneous tendon ruptures. Yes, I'm talking about tendons, the things that at the end of the muscles that are really, really tight, like your Achilles tendon in the back of your ankle. You could have spontaneous tendon rupture, right? So there's just recently this whole class of antibiotics called fluoroquinolones. They kind of been in the headlines because they figured out that they damage mitochondria and can cause irreversible nerve damage. And I want to say that that class of meds has been taken off the market, or at least black boxed. But I want to say they're taking the whole class off the market. But they've been associated with all kinds of negative side effects, right? Depression, brain fog. This is where the hallucinations and psychotic reactions take place. So it was 10 years ago that they started putting this black box warning on these drugs because of their increased risk for tendonitis and tendon rupture, right? Holy cow. I mean, this is a big issue, right? I mean, I don't understand. I mean, I get it if that medication was what absolutely had to happen, but let's be real. The likelihood is something could have been done long before the infection took place to make this person healthy enough that they didn't get the infection to begin with, right? So what are some alternatives to antibiotics? We'll shift gears here. We've talked about side effects, but what are some natural alternatives? Some of you out there may not know that there are natural alternatives. There are lots of natural things that can be done to help fight off antibiotics. There are lots of natural agents out there that have antimicrobial and antibiotic and antiviral properties to them. And so if we're going to have an effect on these antibiotic-resistant superbugs, I mean, we've got to consider some natural therapies. I remember when we had the big MRSA outbreak a few years ago, the methicillin-resistant Staph aureus infections. I'll get it right in a second. The hospital systems started buying up massive quantities of silver products. Silver is a known antimicrobial agent. Way back in the day, they used to throw silver coins into the water barrels in the corners of the saloons to keep the bacteria down. And silver hydrazoles and colloidal silvers. I'm not a proponent of colloidal silvers, but I like the silver hydrazoles. These are things that have been very antimicrobial and will kill these bugs. And the hospital systems started buying this stuff up because that's the one thing they knew would kill the MRSA infections that were running through the hospital systems. I mean, this is a very important, you know, thing to remember that, hey, even hospitals will use a natural agent when they have to, if it comes down to it. So if we can start paying attention, more attention to these natural agents and that there are these things out here, I'm talking about things like garlic, raw garlic, garlic oil, garlic supplements. Garlic is extremely antibacterial, antiviral, antifungal, antiprotozoal. I mean, it's one of the best remedies for an ear infection, right? Another one out there is oregano oil. It's a very, very powerful herb and has a very long history of fighting infections. There's lots of things in it, like carvacrol and thymol. These things, scientific studies shown very strong antibacterial, antimicrobial properties to these two things. So we've got to take another break. When we come back, we're going to talk. I've got a few final thoughts on the side effects of antibiotics and some of these natural agents that you can use as alternatives. You're listening to Wellness 101.
Still alive.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. If you're just tuning into the show, you've missed a pretty good show. Today we've been talking about antibiotics and the problems with antibiotics and overprescribing of antibiotics. Tons of people have probably taken multiple rounds of antibiotics. I mean, we, like I said earlier, in the sick a lot as a kid, all of these types of questions really truly matter to us, because the more antibiotics someone has taken, the more damaging the effects. I mean, Nick, our nurse practitioner in our office, he was just telling me the other day, he'd just read a study, and I apologize for not having the study in front of me, but the study was looking at the impact of a family member taking an antibiotic on the other family members. And what they did was they measured gut bacteria and the balance of gut bacteria on a person who was sick who actually took an antibiotic, but then they measured the gut bacteria of the people in that same household, and their gut bacteria was negatively impacted by the person taking the antibiotic. That is huge, considering the number of people that are taking antibiotics out there. You're literally affecting everyone that you live with.
Why is that?
I'm not really sure. I wish I knew. But that just goes to show the community of healing. I mean, this is part of why at the clinic we do things like IVs in a group. We get the people together to where they can help heal each other. I mean, you know, back in the day when someone was sick, everybody in the community came and pitched in and helped them. You know, when we were tribal people, if someone in your tribe got sick, everybody pitched in and brought them food and came and talked to them and took care of them until they were well again. We don't do that anymore. We basically live in isolation. Most people, most married couples, or, you know, non-married couples, any people out there have very, very few friends. Their tribe is very, very small. And part, I think, of healing in general that we need to get back to is increasing the size of our tribe and increasing the number of people that we rely on.
In person.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, because we've got a lot more affiliations on social media and
right.
friends through that. But we're talking
right. I don't care if you have 17,000 or 17 million Facebook friends. If you have one actual friend that you communicate with outside of texting.
And that you can call on if you need something.
Right.
You know.
Who are you going to call to help you move? Right? I mean, if you have no friends.
That's the reason for friends.
If you have no friends, who are you going to call to help you move? Don't call me. I'll be your friend, but don't call me. I don't move things anymore. I'm retired from moving. But I mean, seriously, I mean, you got to have somebody that you can call and rely on and, I mean, have human interaction with. And we're losing that as a society. And we're seeing all these chronic diseases skyrocket. I mean, I think all of this plays roles. It's not just the overuse of antibiotics, even though antibiotics are contributing significantly to this, you know, this microbiome hit that we're taking and this development of superbugs.
Right. And I know that another thing that comes up a lot because, conventional medicine doctors have been starting to encourage the use of probiotics when they prescribe an antibiotic.
Yeah, but they don't tell them what. They just say, you might want to take a probiotic.
Right. And so we wanted to address that because I think a lot of people are saying, yeah, I take antibiotics. I have taken antibiotics, but I also took probiotic. Like,
right.
Okay, well, they canceled each other out then, right? Like, they're thinking, okay, well, then I'm fine because I took the probiotic, so I undid the damage that the antibiotic might have caused to my gut.
Unfortunately, it doesn't undo the damage. One dose of one antibiotic prescription is enough to mess up the microflora in your gut for months. One dose, one whole round of antibiotics can mess it up for years. Two rounds of antibiotics can mess up your gut flora for your life.
Well, and the thing is, too, I mean, there are a few things. I mean, like you mentioned, they're not generally telling patients what to take. They're just saying, take a probiotic.
That's like telling someone to go home and get taller.
Right. I mean, like if you go and get one off, you know, the shelf somewhere, you just pick a probiotic, chances are it's not going to do you any good. You
right.
might as well, you're just throwing your money away.
Right.
And that's generally what people do, right? Or they go and get some Activia or something.
So I was getting ready to say, they buy some yogurt that has fruit in it. I'm sorry, if your yogurt has fruit in it, you have no beneficial bacteria in that. The fruit eats that up.
So, I mean, it really, it's ridiculous. But then on top of all of that, one of the things that I think is so interesting is that medical doctors will tell them, take a probiotic while you're taking the antibiotic. And then, so, it, I mean, and that makes absolutely no sense. First of all, if you take it while you're taking the antibiotic is going to kill it. That's what antibiotics do. If they weren't killing whatever bacteria was in there, they're not doing their job. So when you take it with an antibiotic, it is completely pointless. But then they don't tell them to continue afterwards to rebuild some of that good bacteria. So I think, you know, so on the one hand, we have to say, okay, medical doctors, you've at least in some ways are trying. But again, you're just getting it wrong. I mean, it just, and it gets frustrating.
Better off
our
not saying anything.
Right. Because it's just, and I don't, I mean, that's the thing that gets frustrating, because then we get all of these patients that come in and think that they know what they're talking about, and they think that they've undone the damage of antibiotics when they've really done nothing but throw their money away.
Right. So, like I said, there are alternatives out there. Things like oregano oil.
What's another? Isn't there another word for another name for oregano oil? No.
No, not that I know of.
ADP or eight.
That's a product. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's just a product of a company
that has oregano
oil. That has oregano oil in it. Yeah, that's all that is. Tea tree oil, things like that. Lavender. We talked about garlic. I talked about silver hydrazole, nanoparticleized silver. It's not colloidal silver. Colloidal silvers are beneficial. Not all colloidal silvers are the same. Some of them are silver salts, and your body can't really do anything with that. But the silver hydrazoles, your body can. It has to do with the particle size of the silver. And if you have a good quality silver product, you actually will not turn blue. That's what everybody's like, oh my God, you'll turn blue. No, you won't. There's been one documented case of someone turning blue, and they were basically eating silver, for crying out loud. If you really know the information, that doesn't really happen. But there are a lot of different things. So if you want more information, please give us a call. We've basically beat antibiotics to death here today. So if you want more information, give us a call at the Institute of Natural Health. Our number is 314-293-8123. Visit us online at the Institute of Natural Health. Follow us on Facebook, on Instagram. Email us. We're happy to respond. We love hearing our comments and questions. We'll do our best to get back to you as quickly as we possibly can. For Aaron, I'm Dr. TJ. This has been Wellness 101. Thanks for listening.